okay, I'm going to ask Brother Strunk to come, and he, you're in for it. If you will just give him a shot this morning, and you're already here to do that, then you're going to want to be back tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, and it's going to be good. One of the things about this man is he not only will challenge you with the Word of God, but he will encourage you. He's always an encouragement. Already, I have him back for one reason. Every year he tells me I haven't aged. And I mean, it's just worth it to have him back. Okay, all right.
It's true.
Are we mic'd? I am 80 years old now, and I don't look it. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm in a beautiful, brand new hotel, and I told my wife, this is just perfect. The only thing is, there's something about the lighting. I don't know, something about the lighting. It's in the bathroom that somehow or another, it's one of them mirrors that doesn't make you look good. You know what I'm talking about. There's some mirrors that you just look better in. And I mean, I was seeing things today, getting ready, that I thought, my, I didn't know I looked like that. So I think maybe I'm getting to the point now I'm going to have to say, I'm 80 years old, and I'm starting to look it. But you wouldn't say amen to that. I am so glad to be here at the Bible Baptist Church. If you're planning on being here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you could be and you decide you're just not going to do it, I hope your TV blows up. I do. I hope the warranty's out on it and the TV blows up. Because there's no better place to be than in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you tonight how to be happy. Now you say, well, I don't want to be happy. Well, come on and maybe you'll get happy anyway. But I'll tell you what, God wants us to be a happy people. I'm not happy all the time. Only an idiot would be happy all the time. But I do have the joy of the Lord all the time. And because of that, I'm happy most of the time. But I want you to know God wants us to be happy. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy the good things He has given us in this life to live with and by. And so you'd be here tonight, and we're gonna get happy, and I get happier in church than any place else on the face of the earth.
Amen.
I like the story about a certain pastor, a lady, come out every Sunday, and she would say, "You're something else." And she did that every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night. "You're something else." And finally, he got so sick of that, and you would too, wouldn't you? He got so sick of that. He said, "I want to ask you something." She said, "What?" "Why do you always say when you come out, you're something else?" And she said, "Well, you sure must be something else because you're not much of a preacher." Now, I hope you won't feel that way when I'm through today. Like one preacher said to a woman, said, "I just got compared to Billy Graham." And she said, "Compared to Billy Graham, you stink." So I hope you won't feel that way about me when all of this is over today. I thank God for you. Now, I'm not going to pick on Valerie too much today, but there are some new people in the church, and I feel like I need to tell you about this again. I just feel like I need to do this. Valerie grew up in Blanding. I mean, from a baby, she grew up in Blanding. And so when we went to Blanding back there in 1965, I was 26 years of age, first church I pastored, the only one I pastored, and had the joy of pastoring for 38 years. But Valerie, she grew up right there in the church, and her family, the Hoblobs, were all there in the church, the whole family. And Brother Hoblob served with us on the directors in the church, and they're just such a precious. And back in those early days, we didn't have much. I had an Oldsmobile F85 that, I mean to tell you, that thing, it was shot when I went to Blanding, and it blew so much smoke I could never get a ticket because the police couldn't find me, you know what I mean? Those were poor days back when we started, and the Hoblobs would have us over on Sunday for lunch, and we always enjoyed that. We appreciated that. And so we were there one Sunday, and I don't know why, but anywhere I'd go, I'd keep my suit on, coat and everything. And so we were sitting at the table, and her mother fixed a great meal, and Valerie was over here in a high chair. Can't you see that, huh? She's over, that's how old I am. She was over there in the high chair, and this actually happened, and all at once, she got a spoonful of potatoes and just threw them on me. Here I had my suit on. My suit got covered with potatoes, and her mother said, "Oh," and I said, "Oh, that's all right." I wanted to kill her, really, but anyway, said, "Oh, that's all right." But boy, what times we had, and I've always got to tell that on her, because that actually happened. Precious memories, how they linger. And so thank God for the Williams and the Jenkins. I tell you, this guy's got energy. I mean, to tell you, I just want to do the chicken walk when you're up there. But when I get real happy, I like to do the chicken walk, and I might do that this week. I'll just get up here, and would you mind that if I just got up and walked back and forth? Because I really appreciate it, and the Downers. I'm gonna tell you what, you can't get a better team than you've got in a pastor and a wife, and I know you know that, but I want to remind you of that. And so I'm so thankful that, to me, he's a John Wayne of a man. I'll call him John Wayne, and he'll act like he doesn't like it. He does like it. he is a John Wayne of a man, and we appreciate him so much. Now, you listen very closely, because I'm going to test you. My subject this morning is, My Name is Lord. What is my subject today?
My name is Lord.
And I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. The reason why Brother Jenkins helped me up on the platform, I had a total knee replacement. I still don't trust it. I'd rather have that help than fall down. Amen. Isaiah chapter 42, that's page number 1130 in my Bible. My name is Lord. Isaiah chapter 42, and because nothing speaks of the Bible better than the Bible itself, I'd like to begin in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretch them out. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now turn over just a few pages to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who was called the weeping prophet because he wept so over the wayward condition of Israel. He was called the weeping man, the weeping prophet. At Jeremiah chapter 16, would you turn there, please? Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah 16 and beginning, please, in verse number 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, The Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Now look at it, verse number 21. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Now the poet asked the question, what's in a name? A rose called by any other name is a rose. Well, that's a rose. But this morning, we're talking about God. His name teaches us about Him. God puts great emphasis on the names He is to be called in the Word of God. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, I hope that you feel like I do, but it really stings me and aggravates me with people so readily using God's name in vain. There is a great military man in my church that's been there for decades, and I talked about this a long time ago, and he came to me because he was in the Navy and stationed in Jacksonville and retired from the Navy and just a great Christian. And I was talking about this, and then he said to me, and I know he didn't mean ill by it, but he said, preacher, I'll tell you what, if you would have been in the Navy, that wouldn't bother you. You just hear it so much that, and I didn't preach to him about it. I just said, you know what? I'm still bothered. Amen. It does bother me. And it bothers me with this, my God. I'll tell you what, Hollywood and the secular world has sold this bill of goods to people that it's all right to just say, my God this and my God that. Last night when I checked into the hotel, three young guys was getting ready to go into their room a couple doors from mine, and when they opened the door, one of the younger ones about that tall said, my God, look at this in here. Not long ago, I pulled into a parking lot at a shopping center and got out of the car, and next to me, a woman pulled in and had several little kids. And one little old girl got out. She couldn't have been over that tall. She got out of the car, and she was mad at her mother about something and said, my God, mother, what do you have to whatever about that? I'll tell you what, I don't like that. Amen. Now, that is using God's name in vain. But what does it mean really technically to use His name in vain? Technically, it is to do this. Are you listening? Say amen. Amen. Technically, it is to do this. That is to use His name casually, without thought, without recognition, without reverence, and without respect. Because His name is above all names. Your name brings us a picture of you. When somebody says your name, they think about you. And the Bible says a good name is to be protected, is a part of your testimony. This church has a testimony, and thank God it's a good testimony, a good reputation. And when you say Bible Baptist Church in Slayton, Texas, people get a picture of what this church is. And so we find in the scripture that when Jesus finished washing the feet of His disciples, He asked this question. Know ye what I have done to you? John 13 and 12. And then He said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Now, He is greater, and He is above your earthly father, your boss, your president. A matter of fact, He's above anyone and everyone. And we're even told in the book of Romans chapter 10 that we are saved by grace through faith, as we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Please understand, it is a name, a position high and lifted up. We're told about that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. It is a name of preeminence, that in all things he might have preeminence. We're told about that in the book of Colossians. It is a name of power. Jesus even said of himself, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." It is a name that is paramount. It is above every name. His name is supreme. His name is peerless, without equal, unrivaled. His name is proper, perfectly suitable. And his name is perpetual. It is lasting forever. And so I ask you this morning this very important question: is he your Lord? I pray so. Can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd, the shepherd is my Lord"? In the book of Acts 2:36, the Bible says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." Now please get this. You do not make him Lord, because he is Lord. We have the choice now of permitting him to be Lord of our lives and to work through our lives as his children, but you don't make him Lord. He is Lord. And this crowd thinks that these blasphemers and God deniers and Christ haters and church haters and Bible haters, I'm going to tell you what, they think they're bringing God down with all their profanity and all their vainness and all their hate and hatred toward the Word of God and the Christianity. But I'll tell you what, they're not bringing God down, they're taking themselves down. Like people say, "I'll break all the commandments I want to." You'll break yourself against his commandments. That's what will happen. And so thank God today in this building, in this auditorium, I trust probably the majority up here today, the Lord knows our hearts, are like David when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." They have a comfortable bed that money can't buy, because he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. They don't live in perpetual anxiety, because he leads me beside the still waters. They don't get tired. They may get tired physically, but not inwardly, because he restoreth my soul. They don't have to live by trial and error, because he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. They live by faith, not by fear. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." They live very comfortably, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They even have special dining arrangements. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." They are special privileged. "Thou anointest my head with oil." They always have more than enough. "My cup runneth over." They have special bodyguards. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And they are family. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Now, some of you take notes. And if you do, I want you to write this down. Some of you take notes. Eternal life is a gift. Abundant life is a choice. Eternal life is a gift. Jesus died for us. He will save us by his marvelous grace. If we recognize we're a sinner and say with a sincere heart, "Lord, I want you in my life, save me," he will save you immediately right then and there. It's not complicated. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Eternal life is a gift. You can't earn it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So eternal life is a gift, but abundant life is a choice. And what it is, what a joy it is to live the abundant life. Now, are you still awake? I'm hungry too. I won't be long. For just a couple of hours, let me give you three things about this matter of Jesus saying, I am Lord. Number one, is he Lord of your money? Somebody says, there he goes. He's come in here in the very first service. The very first service, he's going to talk about money. Every time I come to church, they talk about money. They want my money. Well, I never was embarrassed. Never, preacher. I've known some preachers who are apprehensive about it. I don't want to talk about money in my church. But I'll tell you what, if a pastor is honest with the Word of God and wants his people to be blessed, he'll talk about money. Because everything rises and falls on economics. Your house, your home, your life, your body, your church, the businesses, everything rises and falls on economics. That's why God says more in the Word of God about finances and money than he does about hell and heaven. That's why I talk so much about stewardship, because it takes money. All of this doesn't just happen. And so, what's God's means of supporting the church? His means of supporting the church is the tithe. What is the tithe? Boy, I want you to know something. You bless me. I just want to take every one of you back to Jacksonville to live with somebody else. Before we can have you at Blanding Boulevard Baptist Church. Folks, you ought to thank God for every one of these teenagers. I thank God. This is my amen section.
Amen.
Oh. What is the tithe? The tithe is 10%. And God says, if you don't give that, now you want to have a great meeting, get everybody right about the giving thing, the tithing thing. Because listen, now you can be saved without tithing, and you can be in the church without tithing, but you cannot have the abundant life without tithing. You cannot do it. And that's why God said in Malachi 3 and verse number 10, bring ye all the tithe, now listen close, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of heaven, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Think about that. That is a promise from God, and he says, if you do it, this is what I'm going to do for you. Amen. And so, tithing is God. Now, you say, where's the storehouse? It's not the television evangelist. The storehouse is the church. Christ died for the church. And so Christ set up this method of supporting the church, and it's the tithe. And it doesn't go to Houston to the preacher with a whole lot of teeth. It doesn't go to the television evangelist. The tithe goes to the storehouse, the local church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where you get your blessings. That's where you get baptized. That's where you get teaching and preaching and fellowship is in your church. Thank God for the church. Amen. Tithing, you cannot outgive the Lord. That is his method of supporting his church.
Amen.
Some people are so cheap. Don't look around now. You know anybody that's just cheap? I didn't have to do this a long time ago. I was embarrassed to do this a long time ago. I really was. I thought, no, I shouldn't have to do that. But I'll tell you what, you'd rather I do this and stand here and spit dust. And thank God for these people on Spit Row. I thank God for you getting up here real close. You cannot give the Lord. Some people are so cheap. I'm sure I've told you this is one of my favorite stories about the guy that went to the department store to buy his wife some perfume. And so he said, what do you got? And she said, well, I've got this. How much? $50. He said, 50? I can't afford that. And she pulled out another one and said, yeah, how much is that one? $25. $25? I can't afford that. And she pulled out another one. And she, $10. He said, that's still pretty steep for me. Got anything cheaper than that? And she reached down under the counter and got a mirror and held it up to his face. Preacher, listen now. Are you still listening? Say amen.
Amen.
I have never in my ministry, and I've been preaching over 60 years, I have never in my ministry met one person anywhere in this world that was said, I'm sorry I got saved. Nobody. Not one. I'm sorry. And I have never had one person say to me, I'm sorry that I tithe. Not one has ever said that. You know why? Because you can't outdo the Lord. Matthew 6:33, it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you read Matthew chapter 6, that chapter talks about food. Thank God for food, amen?
Amen.
It talks about food. It talks about shelter. It talks about clothes to wear. That's what it's talking about. And Jesus said, if you seek me first, I'm going to see that you have everything you need. It's the greatest. It's the greatest protection. It's the greatest insurance policy in the world. Is to Matthew 6:33. It is he Lord of your money? Now nobody's looking at the records and thinking badly of you. I tell you, that's not. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that. They're not judging this church. My people didn't do that. But I'm going to tell you what. We talked about the fact, and it's between you and the Lord. And I tell you what would really be a blessing and a help to you is if you're not right with this matter, get right about it today and say, Lord, I'm going to do it. You say. Now, I'm not looking at you because you don't tithe. I like the way you're paying attention. You know, I like the way you're paying attention. You say, but preacher, I just don't have the faith to tithe. I've had scores of people tell me that. I just don't have the faith to tithe. You don't have to have faith to tithe. You don't. All you got to do is write the check. No, you don't have to have faith to tithe. Just write the check. Write the check like you do for the mortgage. Like you do for the car payment, like you do for the big screen television, like you do for hey, when you go, I just write the check. And here's what you will find out. You will find out if you will do that, you will not be able to outgive the Lord. He will take care of you. Now, secondly, is he Lord of your home? Is he glorified in your house? Is he praised in your house? Is he honored in your house, in your home? Is he cherished in your home? Is he respected in your home? Is he Lord of your home? And now I've got to move fast because I'll need to land this pretty quick. But listen, Well, if you have a Christian home, you ought to thank God for it every day. And if you don't give up. Keep on praying. I come up in one of the worst sorted situations. I've talked about it here in the past that you could come up in. And you know what? I wanted anything but that. I really did. I wanted anything but what I grew up in the nightmare of a home that I had. I wanted anything but that. So honor God in your, is he Lord of your home? You know what? She didn't do that on a motorcycle, I asked her. That wasn't a motorcycle, right? Okay. Not even a bicycle. Okay. I won't go any further than that until you're excited about me talking about this. You know something? Where the devil robs us of more joy and happiness is in the home. Yeah, in the home. The fussing and the fighting and the feuding and the bickering and the bitterness and it's in the home. One guy told his friend, he said, you know what? He said, my first wife and I, we were married for 25 years and God took her. And then my second wife and I was married for 15 years and God took her. And now me and her has been married 5 years and God can take her anytime he wants to. You know, there's just not a lot of joy in the home anymore, happiness in the home. That's where we need revival more than anywhere else. That's where we need a special touch of God more than anywhere else, is in the home. I mean, you sit in a great service and get blessed and brother, get in the car and start home, and by the time you're home, there's some kind of content, and the devil just robs you of the happiness and the joy that God gave you in your heart. We need our home. He needs to be Lord of our home. Be sensitive about having God in the home. And I hope you'll be here Wednesday night, because as I sat last night getting ready for today, I was trying to think about Wednesday night. And Wednesday night I'm going to preach a message I've never preached out in a meeting before. And the message is simply this: thank you. I want you to be here. What thank you will do, what it can do for you, how it'll help you. When you try to be here, say amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about thank you Wednesday night. God put that on my heart. I'm going to tell you what, folks, we got a lot to be thankful for. Is he Lord of your home? God help us. Get that home close. Love each other. Somebody said home is a place where a man goes when he's tired of being nice to people. Ought not to be that way. It's love in the home. We'll talk more about that later. Now, are you still awake? Number three. Three. Loretta says, are you really, you'll never know if I forgot. Sometimes I have. Number three. Is he Lord of you? Is he Lord of you? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's the way it ought to be. You'll never lose anything by having him Lord of your life. Knowing that you're saved by his marvelous grace. Knowing that if you died right now, you'd be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We just had one of the great ladies of our church named Shirley Gann, who was saved decades ago at Blanding. And she was one of them Christians. She couldn't do enough to help people, and always kind, and always. I'll tell you, she was such a jewel, and we called her an angel. I mean, she was just Shirley Gann, so faithful. And then she got cancer, and it was a type that was really quick, and it took her. And we had her funeral just days ago. And what a time it was of sadness, but also gladness, because she was ready to go. She said out loud, "I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going." You can't buy that with money. And the very, very millimeter, split second, and only God knows when it was, when life left her body, she was present with the Lord and better forever. That's what you want to think about when you think about people you love that have died and going on before. They are better forever. And every time a negative thought comes to my mind, or a sad thought, which is all right, it's part of the grieving process. By the way, I read something recently, preacher, that was, you know, it's what pays to read. Keep reading. But it simply said this. It simply said, it simply said that you cannot pack for grief. Can't do it. You can't pack for it. That's why it pays to be right with Him. Walk with Him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Know that you're saved, and know that you're right with God. Now, would you bow your heads, please? And as a matter of fact, let's stand together as our heads are bowed. Please, please. You glad you came today? Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, boy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm so concerned about my daughter Starla. I got more playing with you a while back than I had only one other place in all the preaching I do out. And we love her. She's had so many challenges with depression and oh my, it's been something. But anyhow, and now this thing that happened with her appendix and the hospital and intensive care and the tubes and the machines it touches your heart. And you know what I do, God's not pleased. Listen, He wants us to be concerned, and I am, and we pray, and I do, and we care, and there's no way to minimize the concern. There's a difference in concern and worry, the concern that we have. But you know what I've been doing on the whole trip is when I lay down at night. Now, I'm not kidding. This is what I do when I lay down. Last night, when I pillowed my head in that beautiful provision that you've made for me to rest, I just laid there, and I say in my heart, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Lord, please watch over my daughter. Please watch over Starla and bring her through this to strength, to your glory and to your honor. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, aren't you thankful you're saved? Aren't you thankful you're saved? Now, in just a moment, as Brother Jenkins leads us in the invitation hymn, "Just As I Am," I'm just going to ask you to do something. You know, just do what God tells you to do. If there's something with this Lord of the Money thing and you need to get that straightened out, you don't need to come to me or to the pastor. Just come get on your knees here. I'll tell you what, this is a team effort, a husband and wife. It takes a team effort. If you're married, your husband and wife, you might come and get on your knees together today and say, Lord, I believe the word of God and I want to be right on this. I really do. I believe it. And come and you talk about God blessing, he'll bless you and he'll give you peace and you'll say, oh, I'm glad I'm doing this. You ought to do that. If God's touching you about your home and things that are going on there, there was something I wanted to tell you that I didn't take time for that happened on this trip. Maybe I'll get to before the meeting's over, but it really touched my heart about a young lady that checked me in at one of the hotels. And listen, I'll tell you, you know, we need to be concerned about our homes and making things right and helping it to be a better place. You know, if God's touching you about it, you might just come and get on your knees. And I look at all these great teenagers. I can't tell you how happy I am to see them. Very few churches would have this many teenagers. I mean, very large churches wouldn't have this many teenagers. Thank God for them. And teenagers, maybe things are frustrated in your home, and maybe God's touching you about trying to help be it better, help things be a little bit smoother. I ought to come and get on your knees here today and say, Lord, I want to be a help and not a hurt. I do really love Dad and Mom. They just don't agree with a lot of things, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And pray and ask God to give you a tender heart about things in the home. I'll tell you what, it'll revolutionize your life. It can revolutionize your home. Men and women today, some of us could get on our knees and just say, Lord, I don't want to be hard to get along with. I want to do better. And you're never a failure till you quit trying. If God tells you to do that, you do that. Now, if you're not saved, you can come and get saved. The pastor, others will be here at the front. And if God's touching your heart about this thing and knowing him of getting saved, you come on up and just tell somebody up here, I want to be saved. And somebody, you won't be embarrassed. You're not going to embarrass you. You'll have to make no speeches. Somebody will simply pray with you as you invite Christ into your life. You can be saved today. Listen, if you're saved and you're a born again Christian and you need a church home and you need that more today than you ever have, we all do. And you just say to the Lord right now, God, what do you want me to do? And if he wants you here, you've already had that thought. That's how God impresses you through your mind. You've already thought, I need to do this. Maybe you've been visiting this great church and have thought about it. Well, now do it as God speaks to your heart. And whatever God's asking you to do, do it right now while we sing. Will you come?